Philippians chapter 4, we're turning again to this chapter this morning. Philippians chapter 4, we'll just read a few verses here. We were away from it last Lord's Day with Children's Day, so just to get the context again, I'll read from verse 11 down to verse 14. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Amen. Let's just seek the Lord again in prayer and ask for his help now upon the preaching of his word. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee, Lord, as we come to your word. And we recognize, Lord, that if this word is going to benefit our hearts today, then we need the help of thy Spirit. Lord, we need more than just a superficial knowledge of thy truth. We need you, O Lord, to open up the scriptures to our hearts. We need you, O God, to open up our hearts to your word. And we pray, O God, that it might be a blessing to our souls today. We think again of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And we often think of them and how the Lord came and he opened up the scriptures to them and opened their hearts to the scriptures. And their hearts burned within them. And we pray, O God, thou wouldst give us such an experience here today that thy word would, Lord, dwell on our hearts richly, that it might feel its force, it might feel its power upon our souls. Lord, give us help in the ministry of thy word today. We come to thee in the weakness of human flesh and we ask for your help. We ask for that which thou hast promised to give us. Give us help to preach thy word and even give us help to hear thy word today. And as thy word is preached, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And coming to God's truth today, I want us to take for our text the well-known words that are found in verse 13 here in Philippians chapter 4. It says, I can do all things, or Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Apostle Paul in this chapter has been thanking the believers in the church in Philippi for their kindness and for their support in the gospel. When the opportunity arose, they gave of their substance for the support of God's servant and of Christ's cause. As Paul becomes the beneficiary of the love and generosity of the saints in Philippi, he rejoices greatly in how these people manifest the great mark of Christian grace. And that is what Paul does. He sees how they give. He sees their generosity. He sees their love. And he just rejoices in the Lord in this great mark of Christian grace. They did not love in word or in tongue, but they loved in deeds and in truth. What Paul witnesses in the conduct of these people was the fulfilling of the words of Christ in John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Paul knew these people were true disciples of Christ because of the love they had for their brethren. Last time as we considered this passage, we noted after the apostle thanks the church in Philippi for their kindness and generosity, he then reassured them that he was living in a state of contentment. He wanted them to understand this. He says in verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Paul wanted to give God's people the right impression about how he was living. He didn't want them to think that he was feeling sorry for himself. Yes, he was a prisoner. Yes, he was living on very little and he would have had to have suffered much. But he didn't want God's people in Philippi to think that he was complaining, or a bitter spirit had entered his soul, or he was thinking of how harsh things were for him, or how difficult things were for him. No, he wanted to reassure them that while he was thankful for their gift and their generosity, he was content. And he had learned that whatever state he was in, whatever God in his providence brought into his life, he was a man that possessed enough. Paul, like every true Christian, had Christ as his Savior. And as God's servant, kept this all-important truth before him, that Christ was his Savior, that he was joined to God's Son, that he had a great riches in connection with him. As he kept this great truth before him, he was able to live in the wonderful state of contentment. It didn't matter whether he was rich or poor. It didn't matter whether he was bound or free. It didn't matter whether he was hungry or poor. In all things, he still had Christ. And so he had enough to live in a state of perpetual contentment. The prodigal son, while he thought about the far country, while he thought about the things that were out there in this world, his heart was discontent. He longed for more, and he wanted to get more than just what he had in his father's house. And that's what his heart yearned after. That's what it desired after. But while he lived in the far country, while he forsook his father's house, he didn't find contentment. He found the complete opposite. He found great discontentment, great emptiness. He found a great void in his soul. Then the Bible tells us he came to himself. What happened when he came to himself? He thought about his father's house. He thought about the riches that were there. And how even his father's very servants had enough and to spare. And he thought about these things. He reflected upon these things. And this is what it means when he came to himself. For he remembered the great riches that were in his father's house. And that's where contentment is. So it is for the Christian. Contentment for the child of God is not found in the things of this world. It's not found in possessions. It's not found in the entertainment of this world. It's not found in the pleasures of this world. It's not found in any of these things. But where true contentment, lasting, meaningful contentment is found for God's child is in remembering what we have in the Father's house. What is ours as His children, as His sons and His daughters. Paul, in the midst of all the trials and difficulties of life, with many afflictions troubling him, was still able to live in contentment as he kept before him what he had in Christ. Today we come to the words which follow Paul speaking of his contentment in the Christian life. And that is really what verse 13 is speaking of. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notice here in this verse, Paul goes a step further. And that is really all that Paul is doing in this verse. He's going one step further. He has been speaking of how he's able to live as a content Christian. And that is what the previous verses have been speaking about. We've noted that. Paul has been saying, I'm able to live as a content Christian. But now he goes one step further. And he says, I'm able to do all things. Not just live as a content Christian. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What God's servant is telling the saints in Philippi is, I'm not able only to live as a content Christian, but I can live as a successful Christian in all things. And this is what Paul is speaking of here in these words, the words of our text. He's telling the people in Philippi, I can live as a successful Christian in this world. And so really this is the subject before us today. Successful Christian living. This is the subject that each and every one that is a believer today ought to be perpetually interested in. We really ought to be focused upon this subject every day that we live. This ought to be something we consider. How can I live as a successful Christian? How can I live as a child of God? How can I honor God in my life? This is something that we need to give great consideration to and always think of. Well, Paul here gives us the answer. He gives us exactly the answer how we can live a successful Christian life. For this is what he is telling us he is doing. When he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There are a number of things I want us to notice here about this wonderful verse of scripture. The first thing I want us to see is the scope of successful Christian living. The scope of successful Christian living. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notice here the apostle speaks of how he can do all things. And what we must firstly understand is, what does he mean by all things? What is Paul speaking about here when he uses this term all things? It doesn't mean that Paul could do everything. It doesn't mean that he could change every situation he faced, or he could resolve every problem that crossed his path. It didn't mean that he was a magician, and that he could just, in the click of his fingers, deal with every problem and every trial and every difficulty. It doesn't mean that at all. Instead, what Paul means when he says, I can do all things, is he could do all things which pertain to living the Christian life. He could do all things that pertain to living the Christian life. He has spoken about contentment and how he's learned to be content. And that is the duty of the Christian. As God's people, we ought to be content. It is a sin when we murmur and we grumble against God, when we complain, when we have a bitter spirit, when we're not satisfied with that which God has given to us. It's a sin. Very simply, it's wrong. But Paul had learned to be content. But as well as the duty of Christian contentment, Paul says, I can do all things. I can live as a Christian in all things. And you see, this is the scope of successful Christian living. It is living for Christ. It is living for the glory of God in all things. In everything. It is so important that we grasp this. Living a successful Christian life is living life for God's glory in all things. It's doing all things which God requires of us. This is what God told Israel in Exodus 23 verse 13. God said this, and in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. In all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. And the word circumspect means observe. God was saying to his people, listen, you must do all things I have spoken to you. All those things that I have said, all those commandments that I have expressed. You're not to set any of them aside. You're not to go your own way in any matter. But in all things, you are to follow me. This is why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. For he knew God required all things of him. God required that he lived as a Christian in all things. And see, this is the scope. This is the breadth of the Christian life. It affects our whole lives. We could say, the all things that Paul speaks of here teaches us a number of things about the Christian life. It teaches us the Christian life is a comprehensive life. It's a comprehensive life. We can think back to the words of verse 12 here and see what Paul is saying in verse 12. Notice again what he says. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. Note the words again, all things. And in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In these words, Paul is saying that in every situation, in every circumstance in life, he knew how to behave as a Christian. And that's really what he's saying in verse 12 here. He's speaking about every situation that arises, whether that's the poor situation, whether that's a rich situation, whether that's as a prisoner or as a free man. In every situation, in every circumstance, he knew how to conduct himself as a Christian. Right into the church at Corinth, he said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The Christian life is a comprehensive life. And so, whatever we do, we are to do all to the glory of God. If we are to be those that live successful Christian lives, if we are to honor God in this world, then we must serve Christ. We must live for God in everything. In every area, in every part of our lives. When God gave to Israel his law in the Old Testament, God gave them a whole raft of different commandments which related to how they were to live. There were laws relating to how they were to live within the home. Many laws of how they were to live in the home. There were laws relating to their neighbor and to their neighbor's property. If we were to go back to the Old Testament, well, not for sake of time, but if we were to go back there, there's a whole raft of laws of how they were to treat their neighbor's animals, even a stray animal. Every detail was covered. There was laws to do with strangers, how they were to treat a stranger, how they were to treat a poor person. And there was laws for this, and there was laws for that. A whole raft of laws God gave to his people. As you read through the Old Testament, particularly the books of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, perhaps you've thought, why all these laws? Why all these different commandments? Why all these precise rules? Well, you see, these laws and commandments taught Israel that every area of their lives, he required of them that they live for him. Every single detail, every single part of their life was under God's word. And that is what we ought to understand as we read those books. As God gives this law and that law and the other law, he was saying to God's people, your life in its entirety, in the most comprehensive way, must be under my word. Must be under my direction. And that is what God was telling them. The New Testament, of course, teaches us the same. Read of how we are to behave as Christian husbands. We're told how we are to behave as Christian wives, as Christian parents, as Christian children. We're told how we are to behave as Christian employers and employees. And this is all brought to our attention in the New Testament. And again, all of these things are brought before us because God requires of us that we live for Him. We live for Him in every detail, in every part of our lives. Believer, you cannot live a successful Christian life if you do not live a Christian life, a godly life in your home. If you're not a godly husband or a godly wife or a godly father or a godly son or daughter or grandparent, you cannot live the successful Christian life. In the workplace, God requires of you that you live as His son or His daughter, as His child in the workplace, in the work environment, whatever that work environment is. You know, just recently I was talking to a young man and he was greatly troubled because he was working in a building site. And he was working in a building site with another Christian. And the other Christian was a good bit older than he was. And this other Christian who was working there, the language that he was using would not have been becoming of a Christian. And he would have entered into conversation that was not in any way pleasing to God. And the younger Christian very bravely and graciously approached the older believer and said, "Listen, why are you doing this? I thought you were a Christian. Why do you behave in this way?" And his answer was this: "Oh, this is just building site talk. What a load of rubbish. What a load of rubbish. If you're not a Christian on the building site, you're not a Christian. God expects His people to honor Him in every situation, to live for Him and for His glory in every aspect of our lives. And this is what the Scriptures teaches us. Christian life is a comprehensive life. It doesn't matter whether we're in a home environment or whether we're in a work environment or a community environment. Each and every day, we are to live for Christ and to honor Him. And so we see the Christian life is a comprehensive life. It's also a committed life. It's a committed life. To do all things that God requires of His children involves commitment. Wholehearted commitment. Paul, of course, was wholly committed as God's child. His life and ministry clearly demonstrates this. And so this is why he could write to the church in Philippi and say, "I can do all things." This is why he could do it. Because Paul was a committed Christian. And of course, that is a term that is often spoken and used today in a most flippant manner. We should never forget that the committed Christian is someone who is wholly sold out to live the Christian life for the glory of Christ. Have we not referred to those words in Philippians 1:21 so many times about Paul? "For me to live is Christ." That's the committed Christian. That's the true committed Christian. Someone that is living day by day and honoring Christ. Someone that is completely sold out to Christ and brings there just to serve Him. This was the Apostle Paul. One of the clearest pieces of evidence that points to a cold and backslidden heart is an absence of commitment to the things of God. We live in a time of spiritual hardness and declension. And we see even among those who profess to be Christ's a great lack of commitment. That is so apparent. That is so clear. Even among those that would claim to be Christian, those that would claim to belong to the Savior, the great lack of commitment. Commitment to the things of God. Think of the commitment of the early New Testament church. And as we think of the early New Testament church, that's the model. That's the example. That is what we ought to get back to and always seek to conform to. The early New Testament church, when God by His Spirit came with great power, transformed lives and established the work of God. There was great commitment in the early New Testament church. When threatened with death and told to stop speaking of Christ, they responded by saying, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." We cannot but speak. What were they saying? They were saying, "We cannot be silent on this.
We are absolutely sold out. We cannot hold our tongues. We cannot be inactive. We must be about the work of God. That was wholehearted commitment. Sold out. Even when threatened with death. We cannot but speak. How little there is of this commitment to Christ's cause today. So little of it. And we're so weak and we're so lame. And so pathetic. The lack of commitment to the things of God, of course, is reflected, and we must make this point. The lack of commitment to Christ's cause is reflected in the attendance at God's house. And the attendance in the prayer meeting. A committed Christian will be in the house of God and will be in the place of prayer. Paul did all things that pertain to living as a Christian. He comprehensively served Christ. And he, with great commitment, served Christ. And this is the scope of successful Christian living. Moving on quickly here, notice with me not only the scope of successful Christian living, but also the support in successful Christian living. The support, the words of our text again, tell us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We should never forget that, as the Apostle Paul boldly says, I can do all things. His boast was not in self. He was not considering himself or his talents and abilities. He was not even looking into his own heart as Peter did when he said to Christ, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Paul was not thinking of the strength of his own love. He was not considering himself here as he makes this bold statement, I can do all things. He wasn't considering himself. Instead, he was focused upon what he had been given by Christ. He was thinking of what Christ had done for him. And as he thought upon what Christ had done for him, what Christ had given him, what the Lord had bestowed upon him, it was then that he was moved to say with great confidence, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This is why Paul makes this bold statement. This is why he says, I can live as a successful Christian. This is why he can say, I can honor Christ in every detail of my life. Because he grasped what he had. What Christ had bestowed upon him. The word strengthen here in our text means to empower or to endue with strength. To empower or to endue with strength. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. The word enabled is the same word here translated strengtheneth. And Paul was saying to Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus the Lord who hath empowered me, enabled me, strengthened me, put me into the ministry. See, Paul, he was so conscious that his work as God's servant, his work as a preacher and as a missionary of the cross was that which was empowered by the God that he served. To do all things that God requires of us and to live a successful Christian life, we need support. We need enablement. We need to be empowered. This is something that the child of God must recognize every day. We must recognize this every single day. At the commencement of every day that God gives us, it is imperative that we approach it fully aware and fully conscious that we can only live for God, we can only serve Christ as we are enabled. And as we are empowered by the Spirit of God. Yes, every day that we get up, and every day that God gives us life, we ought to seek to live for God. We ought to seek to live this successful Christian life that we have been speaking about. But to do this, we need the help of God's Spirit. Therefore, before we face the world, therefore, before we begin the day, we must every day come before the Lord and say, Lord, empower me for this day. Empower me to be the Christian you want me to be in my home, in the workplace, in the community. Give me of your Spirit. Give me of this power that you have promised to the church and promised to your people that I may be a successful Christian. Paul understood this. That's why he could say, I can do all things, because he sought the Lord for God's help and for God's power. This is what he did. And this is what the Lord Jesus also told his disciples. In that passage we read earlier in John 15. Have you turned back with me to John 15? Just for a moment.
In John 15, we have Christ using the illustration of the vine and the branches. And he was using this illustration to teach his people, to teach the disciples particularly, of how they needed his power. They needed his power if they were going to serve him, if they were going to live for him. In verses 4 and 5 of John 15, it tells us, Christ says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." The Savior here is speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them how he will support them. And we ought to rejoice in this. Christ saying, "I will support you. I will support you." As God's people, we ought to rejoice that Christ has said, if we abide in him, he will support us. In other words, he will empower us. Just as the branch is supported by the vine supplies the branch with life, so too does Christ his people. Christ bestows upon his people the life and power of his Spirit. And we see here in John 15, what happens is God's people are supported by the Holy Spirit. They are enabled to live successful Christian lives. It tells us here what happens. If we think of this illustration of the vine and the branches, it teaches us a number of things. It teaches us the Christian that is infilled by the Holy Spirit will be fruitful for Christ. The person who's filled, infilled by the Spirit of God will be fruitful for Christ. Verse 5 speaks of much fruit. Not just fruit. It speaks of much fruit, and it means abound with fruit. Be bountiful. That is the person who is drawing of Christ's Spirit. They will bring forth much fruit. You see, successful Christian living is a life of bearing fruit. It is productive. And as a Christian, we must consider, are we bearing fruit? Remember, we were thinking about the successful Christian life, living for God. But the successful Christian life is a life of bearing fruit. Are we producing that which Christ speaks of here? If we are his people, and if we are drawing of his Spirit, then we will be fruitful Christians. We will be. We will be productive. We will bring forth fruit. Let us be honest here. So often we can look around us and think how terrible the situation is in our land. We look around us and we see the bleakness and the sin and the wickedness. The state of our nation, the state of society. We think of how few people are getting saved. Few people with a genuine interest in spiritual things. When we speak about these things and we think, well, you know, these things are terrible. And so they are. But what about our own lives? How productive are we as Christians? How productive are we as Christians? Are we part of the spiritual declension of this age? Are we barren, in other words? Are we withered? The Christian that is infilled by the Spirit of God will be a living branch in the work of Christ and will produce fruit. There will be a fruitfulness. We're told there of how, in Galatians 5, of how the fruits of the Spirit are a number of things. These are the things that our lives ought to bear forth. Love and peace and joy, long-suffering and so on. Are these things the things in our lives? The person who's infilled by the Holy Spirit will be fruitful for Christ. They will also be faithful to Christ. Think here in verse 1 of John chapter 15. Notice what Christ says in the very beginning of this verse. I am the true vine. Christ says, I am the true vine. This means he was the true, the genuine, the real vine. That's why he calls himself the true vine. It really is to make the point that Christ was not some wild shrub. He wasn't some weed that had just grown up there in the wilderness. But he was the true, the real, the genuine vine. You see, in Israel, there would have been wild vines which sprang up on uncultivated areas.
And if these wild vines produce fruit, that fruit would have been poor. It would have been worthless. It wouldn't have been picked. It wouldn't have been gathered. It was very poor. It wasn't pleasant fruit. Perhaps we could draw a comparison in this land to a crab tree. Crab tree is a wild tree. And its fruit is bitter. Its fruit is unpleasant. But Christ makes it clear. He's not like that. He's the true vine. Therefore, the fruit which flows from the true vine is true fruit. And that's the point he's making to his disciples here. I'm the true vine. You abide in me, you will bring forth true fruit. Fruit that is honoring to God. Fruit that is glorifying to Christ. Fruit that reflects that you're connected to Christ. It will be Christ-like fruit. That's what it is. And you see, the successful Christian life is one that reflects Christ. It's one that reflects Christ. It is one which is faithful to Him. If God's Spirit is genuinely working in your life, if God's Spirit is indwelling you, then the fruit of your life will honor the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it will do. Christ will be seen in you. If you turn over a chapter to John 16, notice what Christ says in John 16, verses 13 and 14. Again, he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Notice how he refers to the Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. Speaking about his nature. He's the God of truth. The Holy One, the truthful one. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. See what Christ is saying here? He says, if the Spirit of truth, when he has come, he will take of mine and show it unto you. So therefore, as the Spirit of God gives to us Christ, Christ is seen in our lives. Seen in our lives. There's a very solemn truth implied in these words, and it's this. If your life does not produce fruit which honors Christ, if your life does not produce Christ-like fruit, if it doesn't produce that which reminds people of Christ, then the Holy Spirit does not dwell in you. It doesn't dwell in you. And if the Holy Spirit does not dwell in you, then you're yet in your sin. You're under the condemnation of God. That is what the Word of God teaches. What is the fruit of your life then? What is the fruit of your life? The successful Christian life is one supported by the Spirit of Christ. Is this your life? The life that you're living? It is the support of a successful Christian life. You're the scope of a successful Christian life. Finally, notice with me the secret of a successful Christian life. The text says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The secret of Paul's success and the secret to the success of any Christian life is living day by day in fellowship with Christ. It was through Christ that Paul was strengthened or empowered. It was through Christ Paul could do all things which pertain to living a God-glorifying life. The secret here was his fellowship with Christ. And child of God, this is the secret. Being the Christian God wants you to be. Living day by day in fellowship with your living head. This is the secret. There is simply nothing more important in your life than your communion with God. And we need to emphasize that today. There is nothing more important in your life than your fellowship with Christ. Your communion with God. I don't care what you speak of. There's nothing more important in all the world than your connection to Christ and abiding in Him and abiding in fellowship with Him. And we've looked at John 15. We can go back to it, well, not for sake of time, but that's what it speaks of there. The Christian abiding in Christ. What did Christ say? If the branch doesn't abide, it'll wither and be cast away. Do you want a life that's withered and cast away? Or do you want a life that's successful, meaningful, for eternity. They maintain your fellowship with Christ. The devil knows the importance of the Christian's fellowship with Christ, for he makes it his unending business to hinder and break up that fellowship. Peter, speaking to God's people in 1 Peter 5:8, calls the devil your adversary. And the word adversary means opponent, to one who stands in opposition. That is what the devil is. That's his work. He stands as our opponent. He stands in opposition to us, to oppose us. But what is he opposing? What is he seeking to do? He's our opponent. What does he want to do? What does he want to achieve? He wants to break up our communion with Christ. That's what he wants to do. That's what he works endlessly to do. For he knows that if our fellowship with God is weak, if our communion with Christ is shallow, then we will be shallow and weak Christians. We will be sick and weakly. The secret to successful Christian living is living near to Christ. Living day by day in his presence and in his company. Many years ago, a young preacher started to minister in a particular congregation. And it was his first calling. And at first he was filled with great zeal and enthusiasm. He could stuck in to the best of his ability. And he tried his very hardest. And he labored with all his heart and he prayed with all his soul. And he really wanted to see work done for God. However, after a period of time, he felt he was struggling. He was trying his best. He was putting his all into it, using even more effort and even more force. But he felt things were getting harder and harder and harder. Things were getting harder in the study. Things were getting harder in the pulpit. And he felt that he was getting nowhere. And so, greatly discouraged, he went to visit an old preacher who had recently retired. And as he visited the old preacher, he really had only one question for him. And he said to him, "Sir, how did you keep going? How did you minister for all those years? How did you continue going week after week and remain fresh? Continue to feed the flock. Continue to serve Christ. How did you do it?" The old preacher looked the young man in the eye and he said, "Live close to the fountain. That's the secret. Live close to the fountain and you'll be fresh." We could add to that, it's not only the secret to a successful ministry, it's the secret to a successful Christian life. As God's people, we need to live close to the fount of every blessing. Drink of Christ daily. Feed in him continually. Live in his presence, even like Mary did. And we will live successful Christian lives. Oh, if we remain in fellowship with Christ, if we continually draw nigh to God and he draws nigh to us, then we will know of his power, his spirit living in us. And we will. We will be able to do all things, even as the Apostle Paul did. This was the secret to Paul's success in the Christian life. Living close to Christ. May God help us as his people to live in this way. May God enable us day by day to live lives that are successful in the Christian faith. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes and put our way unto the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, O God, even for thy word today. And Lord, even as we come to thy truth once again, we're very conscious that, Lord, we fall far short of thy word. We fall far short of the mark. But Lord, we come to thee and we ask, O God, thou wouldst give us grace and thou wouldst give us help to live for thee. Lord, we would want to be able to say like the Apostle Paul, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And Lord, we know that thou wast given to us that which we need. And thou wast given to us of thy spirit. Thou wast given to us of thy grace. Help us, O God, not to neglect the things of God. But Lord, to daily come to thee and to seek thee. And to know that help that thou wast promised to give us. And Lord, even as we live for thee, we pray that thou wouldst make our lives fruitful. May our lives reflect that which is of Christ. May be 11 epistles known and read of all men. Lord, bless your truth to our hearts. Be with those that will leave us. Remember us round the Lord's table. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.